You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A te marie e te whanau, kei te whakarongo mai koe, ki te reo irirangi poho, you're on the breakfast show here at 95BFM. We are going to be having a chat to Reb Fountain very shortly. Her brand new album, Iris, has just been released this morning. This is one of the many gorgeous tracks on it. It is Lacuna. That is Lacuna by Reb Fountain. Morena, Reb, how are you?
Morena, I'm really great, thank you.
Congratulations on Iris being out in the world today. You must be very pleased about that, albeit, you know, weird and annoying to be back in lockdown, but it is a huge achievement. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty overwhelmed, actually. It's quite surreal because Iris was actually written in lockdown last year, so it feels a very full circle moment to be to be here now, releasing an album that we really dreamed up last year amidst the pandemic. Yeah.
It's been a very weird year for music. We've talked to you about it in a lot of different capacities as a musician and as an advocate for music spaces and the creative community during this time. But I think you make a good point there, that kind of strange, almost dreamlike thing of how releasing music and creating music at this time, it's sort of happening almost outside of our normal lives, outside of normal place. Do you feel like that influenced the writing on Iris when you were making it last year?
Oh, absolutely. There's this great tension between the isolation and the need for connection. And so, you know, while we were all in our sort of own little spaces, I don't know about you, but I felt like I was reaching out, trying to listen to music and absorb the news and podcasts and reading and all of those kind of scraps of information became material for the record in many ways. And I guess I wanted to create this in a very weird, surreal time, try and create this kind of mythological journey. You know, Iris is very much a hero's journey kind of record. and it felt like, I don't know, I needed it.
Yeah.
I needed a way to be in transition. You know, how do we come through this?
What do you mean by that hero's journey? Because that's quite an evocative concept. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I guess in a few of the different tracks, I was quite interested in mythology. I'm really interested in narrative and story and how it can kind of shape meaning and connect with us. And you know, particularly on the open track Psyche or in Iris and many of the others, really, I was interested in finding kind of archetypal characters and thinking about what it would be like to create a mythology. What if we're in a mythological time now, you know? What would the story be and how we might be able to map some of our own collective journey onto that kind of narrative and how would they intersect? And so that's what I was playing with, you know, trying to kind of create something that felt really universal and can resonate with all of us.
Tell us a wee bit more about the figure of Iris or the concept of Iris, because I think that's really interesting. I found that when I'm listening to this record, that's been subconsciously maybe underpinning some of these motives and pulling out that mythology and pulling out that storytelling in a really interesting way as well. What can you tell us about Iris, the character or the concept?
Yeah, again, I feel like she is a hero's journey in herself, you know. She's this sort of whimsical beast. you know, Iris classically is like the messenger between humanity and the gods. You know, she's like this rainbow bridge, but she also doesn't have a lot kind of said about her or talked about. And so combined with other songs on the record, I think I was kind of trying to capture what that story would be, you know. And really, I mean, I can only come from my own place, and I was attempting to speak my unspoken, the things that were difficult for me to say and articulate in words, but I could find a way to articulate them in song. Because often feelings are like that, right? You know, we're having these really intense experiences, but we just don't know how to process them or talk about them. And what if that was a feeling, and what if we could embody that in story and in song? And I felt the strong impetus to share the music, you know, as soon as possible, because we were all going through this collective experience.
I think that's a really interesting and a very generous way of thinking about music making. Does that come from the way you experience listening to other people's music, do you feel, Reb?
Well, I mean, in this case, you know, I was just writing these songs. I wrote a song a day during lockdown just to kind of keep my mental health on above board, you know. And I didn't really have any intention on making a record, but kind of by the end of it, it was just this sense of uncertainty. You know, we'd been working on the Save Our Venues, and everyone had been sort of pitching in and trying to think about our kind of our ecosystem, our musical landscape. And it felt really important to me to kind of create work for myself and my team, and then, you know, in the long term, this work, that the seed that we sowed then would then create work for others down the track, you know, venues and techies, and then we would entertain audiences. And in that moment, you know, you can kind of see the nexus of it all,
yeah.
That if you commit to yourself and have your own back and create, then actually you're having a massive impact. And it's like that with everything that you do. So it's definitely a philosophy, and it helps me overcome, I guess, my own ego, my own feelings of insecurity and self-doubt, to sort of to see that that work can help and connect with so many other people.
And you've been working in the industry for a long time, so you've had long and deep connections with a lot of those people and facets of that community. How does it feel with your most recent records sort of receiving, I guess, this new level of acclaim or knowledge, more people listening, different parts of the industry taking notice? Does it shape at all the way you're making, or does it make you think about the people that are maybe hearing it that haven't heard your music in the past? Or is that something that you try and put to one side when you are writing?
Well, it's all relative, right? You can always beat yourself up for not doing enough, or that you want to, if you know there's places that you want to go that you haven't reached yet, you know. But sure, it's totally influenced me. And of course, you know, I'm so inspired by the artists around me, and I learn so much from the people that I connect with, and you know, that you tour with or that you record with. And even the people that listen to my music are really inspiring. So yes, I you'd hope, right, that you grow as an artist and a human being, and that, yeah, everything is material. They influence who you are. I try when writing to put those things aside. Of course I want to be accepted like everybody else, you know, the fear of rejection is great. But really, it's very important to me to kind of hold on to the integrity of the work and be open to whatever it is that I'm going to create. And then as a collective, with me and my band, or with Dave, or with my producers, that we're open to whatever essence that we're creating, you know, what we're constructing at the time, and that be kind of as much as possible outside of those fears that you might have, or desires, that you're just creating something beautiful. Because I don't know, the nexus for me is when we perform live, like,
yeah,
just being in that moment and being present. I'm always nervous, you know, I never know what to expect. It's just on the spot, on the fly.
Yeah.
But if I can be true to myself, I connect most deeply with my audience. And I, for me as an audience member, I love that about live performance, that someone is owning themselves, having their own back enough to be there and be present. And so I feel like there's magic in that space, and that is outside of worrying about what level you're at or who's listening,
yeah,
you know, or if you're good or not.
I think to the Flying Nun birthday party, and your performance in that lineup of incredible bands was a real standout for me, Reb. It was a really magical moment. I was sitting right up in the top gods, and it just filled the whole room with so much energy. And it was such an incredible feeling to be in that space. And I mean, now looking back at it, we were so lucky as well that we got to be in that space with all of those people there. I mean, that's obviously the goal, is to get back and see gigs, and you have got an excellent tour coming up, which I'm very much looking forward to. But as someone who has been such a strong advocate for the community and for live music, what are your goals or hopes for the music community moving into the future, when we do start to get to a space where we're able to see with more certainty what performance might look like, what sustainable sort of music communities might look like? What are some things you would like to see happen?
Well, it's kind of keeping that foundation of valuing the creative arts sector, right? And, you know, there's a lot of people advocating behind the scenes for that at the moment. So, yeah, audiences can be entertained, but we can also work. And that has the same sort of level of value as, say, sport, you know?
yeah.
I think we really have a collective responsibility to one another. And that as we move forward, you know, things have changed. They're not going to be the same, and that's okay. And, you know, in the creative arts, we know what it's like to have to adapt. So I think The industry side is maybe a bit more fluid and open to the change, where it is a little bit harder if you're not in the industry to kind of make sense of that. What do you mean I'm going to have a vaccine passport to get into a gig? But really, you know, we need to look after one another. We need to be safe. And essentially for me, you know, the new future is like having a health and safety policy that really, you know, cares about people on many levels. And so, you know, I would just encourage at this point audiences to support music and the creative arts by, you know, buying tickets to shows. Like, if things have to get rescheduled, we're all in it together. But you show us that shows can go ahead and that they've got value. And it kind of makes a statement on a sort of more macro level as well for the government. You know, we need to value these things. And I think what we're in a good position now because of all the work that the whole community did last year. You know, we're seeing like funding coming through to the creative arts sector. So I guess I'd just like us to be in it all together, you know, in order for us to be able to participate in entertainment, we need to love one another. We need to get vaccinated, you know, really. That's what it is. It's like, it's not about you anymore. It's about all of us and caring for one another. And I feel really strongly about that.
I think that puts it so well, Reb. I also wanted to touch base on the idea of love, because that is something that really underpins this record in a lot of different capacities. We are going to listen to the title track shortly, but could you tell us a little bit about the various facets of love that do come through very strongly in this album?
You know, if anything, it's about love, the whole record. But, you know, not on that sort of like, you know, you meet someone nice and you love them kind of thing. it's more about the human condition, you know, all these facets of it, you know, the unrequited love, the pain of love, the feelings of rejection, the levels of hierarchy that can exist in our society, you know, the misconstruction of love. I guess if anything, I wanted to try and encapsulate the whole. Now, obviously, everyone's got their own perspectives in life, and I can't speak from everyone else's experience, but I just tried to say, you know, this is what it is, all of these things, and sometimes it's unpleasant and hard, but it's really important that we look at it, you know, if we want to transform. You know, I'm really into that. I'm really into sort of progress, and I want the next generation to be better than me, you know, and how do we do that? Well, we do that through really self-reflection and change, you know, and being open to that. And it's hard work, it's the hard road, but you know, let's create something better by being aware of ourselves, by bearing witness to who we really are, you know.
Well, on that note, I think we should probably listen to the gorgeous title track from your brand new record, Reb Fountain, Iris, which is out today via Flying Nun. Woohoo, indeed.
I just want to give a shout out to my band and to my manager and team. And, you know, thanks so much to them for being on this journey with me. Like, this is our record and I'm super proud.
Well, congratulations, and look forward to seeing it live. We'll all just go and get vaccinated so that we can do that, eh?
Get out there today. And all of you, you know, just support everyone who's not in Tamaki Makaurau to make the right choice.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, Reb. Have a lovely rest of your morning, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, BFM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Like it was endless summer nights spent with you by my side. I could pretend you'd always be my lover. When you said I was your Venus, you light a look for the taking, close enough to see me in your eyes. Love was only ever framed. kiss. Tell me where you hide this love. I ache for the taste. I close my eyes. We put the fire out when we speak our silence. Blinded by the sight of love and violence. We cost you rebellion, but with our hearts quiet, a doubt for the duet. The world can take away. Heroes we are not, our maps diverged and we're lost. We miss the signs and we pay the cost. What do you do with the mad that you feel? What is essential is invisible. What do you do with the mad that you feel? We dare to be ourselves. I read.
A 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.